You know, Lauren, I understand that part of the foundation is to combat the lack of scientific understanding, the lack of model systems, lack of incentives for scientists to enter the field and devote their careers, and a lack of an FDA-approved cure. Now, Lauren, what has the CF done and is going to do to change this?
Well, I mean, this is really the problem that we're seeking to address. And, you know, since Nancy founded the Caring for Carcinoid Foundation in 2005, we've awarded over $5 million in research grants. And it's all really been spent to address these issues that you bring up. The Caring for Carcinoid Foundation follows a collaborative three-step research roadmap, and this was designed by our esteemed board of scientific advisors. And this helps us to make sure that our funding decisions all work together and are helping to achieve that goal. And so in particular, we have sought to create resources for scientists to work with. And so we've worked to establish model systems such as cell lines and animal models. We've also recently established a collaboration, the Caring for Carcinoid Foundation Neuroendocrine Tumor Biobank. And this lack of tumor samples linked to clinical data was recently identified by the NCI as a major roadblock to scientific research. And so the Caring for Carcinoid Foundation seeks to readdress this roadblock by forging this collaboration among leading centers that really specialize in caring for these patients. And this collaboration, by linking the tumor samples with that clinical data, will enable really robust studies to characterize specific disease pathways, to uncover genetic and environmental indicators of these diseases, to identify novel drug targets, and ultimately to tailor treatment programs to the needs of patients. One project that we're very excited about is last year we launched the very first genome study of carcinoid cancer. This study is led by Dr. Matthew Meyerson with expertise in this area, and he is currently at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and the Broad Institute. And also later this year, we'll be announcing our second genome project, and this will be of pancreatic neuroendocrine tumors, and this will, of course, be at another really well-regarded institution. You know, finally, we're seeking to create opportunities to allow young investigators to be involved in this field. You can imagine that as a young scientist, when you're thinking about all the other opportunities where you could be studying and where funding is so available, we really felt that there needed to be a way for young investigators to enter the field. And so last year we partnered with another foundation. It's called the Mary Therese Hartzheim Foundation. And with them, we were able to launch the very first Young Investigator Award to specifically facilitate young scientists entering this area and, you know, to make sure that going forward we'll continue to have a lot of scientific progress.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, while you were talking, Lauren, you mentioned Nancy, and that's Nancy Lindholm, which we're going to get to shortly. But, Carrie, I'd like to hear, you know, I'm sure everyone wants to hear about your wonderful memoir on Halloween in 2003, when your children were then 10 months, 11, and 13, you got your diagnosis. And I know that subsequent or prior to that, you had been misdiagnosed. You can tell us a little bit about the story of your diagnosis and subsequent treatment.
I sure will. Well, first of all, I haven't liked Halloween much since then.
Oh, no, I bet.
It is truly a scary holiday for me. No, the truth is, it's wonderful because I'm still here and I'm talking to you about it. I was diagnosed in a strange way, which was just to make a very long story short, which is the problem that Lauren was talking about, is I had the flushing, I was wheezing, I had what looked like irritable bowel syndrome, tons of symptoms. I was into an unrelated surgery to remove an ovarian cyst. How many of us women have had that or our friends have had? You go in, you go out. It's like it's an outpatient, quick thing. And that's when it was discovered, because they could see with the scope that my interior walls, my abdomen, and all the organs were covered with these tumors. I could actually see that, and so that is how I was diagnosed, actually. So I like to say I went to sleep in one life, and I woke up in a completely different one, and that is a very rough way to have that sort of happen, but I'm grateful that it happened when it did. And then what my subsequent treatment was surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And there are a couple of great doctors there in carcinoid that just happened to suit my particular case perfectly in terms of the surgery I needed. Dr. Nagurney is one of the top surgeons for that specific debulking abdominal surgery that I needed, and it was quite extensive. So, yeah, that's how I started out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, your book is so beautiful, and I love your imagery, and you know, you use the image of your life as a boat and your journey as a river, and I love the river analogy, and it's such a beautiful way to bring the reader in even deeper, no pun intended. Quote, the river seems to be getting colder and deeper as I silently float along its surface. Cancer instantly draws a dark, heavy curtain of sky around me so that I can barely hear or see anything at all. I'm not ready to replay all the memories of my life right now, but it doesn't let me choose. The river runs through the snapshots of my life. What inspired that choice of imagery?
Thank you for the compliment, first of all. And what inspired it was the actual river itself. And I live in Colorado, and I'm a river's my body of water, if you will, because we're not anywhere near an ocean, and I grew up with rivers. I'm a fly fisherman, and person. And I just, you know, rivers are my thing. Rivers are my thing. And I didn't sort of sit around and think, oh my gosh, what will I have for a metaphor here? It just was. It was what could be the container for this emotion and what is it? You know, it just was. And it carries us through the book and you sort of come with me, you know. The river brings you places that you both do and don't want to go, and it delivers you to other places.
Sometimes you
can see the banks, and sometimes you can't.
It's true, and oh, I just loved your book, absolutely. I remember my husband came home from work, and I read books, I mean, obviously, all the time, and I just said, this book is just so phenomenal. So I absolutely adore it. And, you know, speaking of people to adore, I watched a wonderful interview of you with Nancy Lindholm, and I mentioned her earlier. And if you can tell us what's going on with Nancy.
Sure. And I'm going to jump in here, Carrie,
and
I'd love to collaborate on this answer. And so something that's really wonderful is Nancy was just honored with the Massachusetts General Hospital's 100 Award. And what this award is it's an award that the Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center gives out yearly to honor individuals and groups whose diligence, discoveries, philanthropy, and passion have helped advance the fight against cancer. And it's really quite remarkable that, you know, nearly 10 years after Nancy was diagnosed at the Massachusetts General Hospital and learning about the lack of treatment options, deciding that this wasn't an okay state for patients and sort of vowing to change things, that she's now coming full circle and being honored by the Massachusetts General Hospital for her and the Caring for Carcinoid Foundation's contributions to fight this cancer through research.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic.
Yeah, she's incredible. I tell you, she's a real powerhouse, and I hope others will watch that same interview with Nancy and I. She's really a very focused person, and what she's done for all of us by beginning this foundation is basically she struck a match, she lit the flame that is, for me, really the only real source of hope that there may be a cure for this at some point. And that's a very big thing to say.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's what I have to say.
Now, when is the ceremony taking place?
It is going to be in early June here in Boston.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. And I want to let everyone know that they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org, click on the audio archives, and I think it's a second or third page, you will find a lovely interview I did with Carrie where we get really in-depth into her fantastic book. So I wanted to put that out there since she didn't have a lot of time today. And I want to thank you both so much. Now, Lauren, how can people learn more about Caring for Carcinoid?
Sure. I mean, the best way is if people have access to the Internet, they can go to our website, which is www.caringforcarcinoid.org. And carcinoid is spelled C-A-R-C-I-N-O-I-D.
Oh, terrific.
And one other quick way for people that can't remember all that and you might be driving in your car, you can go to my author website if it's easier to remember, which is my name, Carrie Host, CarrieHost.com, Carrie Host. And on there, there'll be a link to the Carcinoid Foundation. You know, you can read the prologue of the book for free, see if you like the book in the first place before you run out and buy it. It's nice to read a bit of a book and see if it's your your kind of thing. And again, so carriehose.com, I have a connection on my website there to the caringforcarcinoid foundation.org.
Oh, that's wonderful. And again, I highly recommend, Carrie, your book is so great, Between Me and the River, Living
Thank
Beyond
you
Cancer.
So much.
I really,
no,
I
wanted to tell people
it.
It is about, it's about life and love, though, and
it
how
is.
Do we do this? It's such a hopeful book. And you know what? For anybody who's reluctant to read a cancer memoir, I don't blame you. It's, you know what? Most of them are just something. They're either too sad or not well written, or it's their authors have deceased. I'm sorry to say, but it is kind
yes.
of a good thing that I'm here. And I just think this book is for anyone that's faced any kind of tremendous challenge with unbelievable odds stacked against you. Your life's been dumped all over. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's something else. But whatever it is, I really think that in the pages of the book, you can find your center and your strength. And you can see by looking at me so vulnerable in the book how strong you really are. And that's what I want your listeners to be able to know, is that this is really a book about them. I know it's a memoir. It's about me, sort of. But it's really about us.
Yeah.
All of us that are out here, like in our lifeboats by ourselves, feeling isolated. Nothing's there for us. What is there for us? My book is there for you. I'm there for you in the pages of the book. And I'm serving on the board of the Caring for Carcinoid Foundation. This is my second year. And I'm really proud to be connected with this group, because I feel we're really on a mission to do something rather than do nothing. And that is so hopeful. Thank you, Lisa,
so much. You are just
so
glorious. I love you. I can listen to you all day.
You can listen to me.
You gal
are
terrific.
Let's all run and have lunch.
I know,
yeah,
I wish.
I'm in Colorado, you two.
Oh, my gosh. One of these days. Well, I want to thank you both so much. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.